Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to First Things First. I'm Jenna Wolf. That's the Hall of Famer, Chris Carter. This right here is Nick Wright. We have a fabulous Wednesday show for you today. I'm selling it big time because we got new details on who the Clippers tried to pair with Kawhi before Paul George. The Cowboys are getting a big boost on offense. Wait till you hear. Kawhi Leonard, his decision to join the Clippers brought him closer to his childhood home in California. But according to reports now, winning championships was more important to Kawhi than playing close to home. Interesting, since he passed on a chance to form a super team with the Lakers, also close to home, which would almost guarantee him a title. Kawhi reportedly felt the best way to win would be to pair up with Paul George. So, Nick, were the Clippers the best chance for Kawhi to win when making his decision this offseason?
Of course not, but they were the right decision. Of course, him signing with the Lakers and pairing up with LeBron and Anthony Davis, if sports were only and exclusively about ring count, winning as many championships as easily and as quickly as possible, then that would have been the right decision.
But he said that's what was important
to him. The only decision. Well, yeah, that's part of what's important to him. But we can say this a thousand times. All championships are not created equal, and Kawhi Leonard is trying to accomplish something that he can accomplish with the Clippers that he would not have been able to accomplish with the Lakers, which is win a title as the best guy, the unquestioned star in Toronto, and then go do it cross-coast, different country, new team, the next year, again, as the unquestioned best guy. So, no, this was sports are not just about the rings. And when we distill it all down to nothing matters but how many titles you've won, we are marginalizing the journey. It's not just about the end point. It's about the journey. And if Kawhi is able, not just this year, but to win a title at any point in the next few years with the Clippers, that will be such a greater individual accomplishment than if he had won a couple titles with LeBron and Anthony Davis with the Lakers. So, yes, championships are a part of it. And no, he didn't make the right decision if the only thing that mattered was how can I win a championship as quickly and easily as possible. But that's not that's not the only goal. I don't even know if that's the ultimate goal, because how you win the title matters enormously in the story that is told as you of you as a player.
Kawhi orchestrated this, and I have to be very, very careful right here, because I want to make sure, because in communicating with Kawhi's team, make sure that what they've told me and my own personal opinion, make sure I'm able to divide those. Kawhi is about winning championships. Kawhi also believes he's the best player in the NBA. Best player in Los Angeles, Kawhi believes it's him. So the reason why he didn't want to join the Lakers, the same thing he said when he asked to be traded, right? He wants to win championships, but he doesn't believe that he needs LeBron James to win championships. And he believes, because he wouldn't have signed with the Clippers, that in the head-to-head, he doesn't believe he's better than LeBron James. He felt like as if he was better than Kevin Durant. That's why he wanted to pair up with Kevin Durant, because he's got such a respect for Kevin Durant's game. That's why both of them were looking at New York, and that's why Brooklyn and the Knicks were a real possibility for Kawhi, because he knew, yes, I want to win some championships. I can't do it by myself, but I do believe if I have another all-star, did he have a priority list? I can't say that, but his first call was to Kevin Durant. He did talk to several others, but he believes paired with another star, he can win NBA championships. That has not changed. He didn't feel as if when he was in San Antonio, he had to be traded to Los Angeles to play alongside LeBron James. And as I said, once they got Anthony Davis, that really hurt their chances of Kawhi ever putting on one of the Lakers uniforms, because he was not going to be responsible himself for forming a super team.
Right. If a super team forms around him with the Clippers in a couple years, if all of a sudden they add another star, that's one thing. But him being the last piece of one when LeBron and Anthony Davis had already been there, that would be viewed very differently. And The other part of this, this is why I reject it out of hand when people are like, ah, LeBron went to L.A. to win, to make movies. He doesn't care about winning anymore. Guys at this level where they truly believe in their heart of hearts, I'm the best player in the league, believe anywhere I go becomes a contender. Now, LeBron knew that last year the Lakers were not going to be able to win a championship, but he, I think, correctly believed, give us a year, we'll find one other star, and we'll be contending. Kawhi knew that if he went to the Clippers with no one else, that's probably not a championship team, but with Paul George, it is. And so if you think you can get to your destination by multiple routes, then you know you're going to get more credit, if you will, and it might be more personally satisfying to take the route that demands more of you. Like, maybe at some point in time, maybe before I was alive, maybe before I started covering sports, championships weren't considered important enough. And maybe it's just the pendulum swung so far in reaction to that. But we are now to a point to where we disrespect and denigrate guys so much that don't have a title that sometimes we miss the plot that it's not just about who wins the final game of the season.
Well, the reason why you say things like that because you don't have anything else to say. Well, why? What kind of player were they? Oh, they were a great player. Oh, but they didn't win a championship. That's the reason why they do that. It's not as this. I just think with the coverage of all the athletes, it's more intense. And there's so many people doing it that you have to throw in, to be able to divide them, the championships and everything. But I've said this a whole bunch. There's no way I'm going to take away my 1,100 catches for a Super Bowl ring. There's no way.
Of course. Like, maybe it started with LeBron. He had won a couple MVPs. He was clearly the best player in the league, but he hadn't won a title, so people crushed him. And then KD felt in a similar spot. And so where we started to be, well, have they won a title? And I guess it's coming for Giannis soon, I would imagine. But Kawhi picking the Lakers, yeah, it would have made a minus 200 favorites. It would have been the best place to win a title. But that doesn't mean it's the best place for his career. It doesn't mean it's the best place for what he's trying to accomplish in this league.
No, I agree. I agree with what both of you are saying. And Kawhi should feel like he can take out LeBron. He should feel the best player.
Course.
He took out the Sixers' big four. He took out Giannis. He took the Raptor, the Golden State Warriors, 3-1 before they were up 3-1 before Kevin Durant went down. I mean, he should feel like he, along with anyone else, should be able to compete against
Kawhi has
who they have at the
Lakers. Kawhi has a great deal of confidence, and you saw that confidence in the Eastern Conference Final when they were down 2-0 to Giannis.
Yeah.
To me, because Golden State was injured. To me, that was the biggest series coming after the buzzer beater against Philadelphia. What he did to Giannis. Giannis was the MVP of the season, and he took over that series in that game number 3. So Kawhi's got a tremendous amount of confidence. Kawhi feels like he does not need LeBron James. And also, Kawhi's personality does not fit the Los Angeles Lakers, LeBron James, and everything else they have going on. Now, he would have taken it as a last resort, if they couldn't trade for someone,
right.
But he ended up getting exactly what he wanted. It wasn't paramount for him to go back home, but as a priority, he wanted to play in Southern California. He got that, was able to play with the Clippers. They got another star in Paul George, and he feels like they're ready to win a couple championships.
All right, speaking of getting another star, who could be the final piece in the Lakers championship puzzle? Wait till you hear next on First Things First. Great heavyweight battle for you coming up on August 3rd as Adam Kovnatsky takes on Chris Areola Saturday, August 3rd on Fox and the Fox Sports app. Time for us to go viral. Zion Williamson took to Twitter yesterday to make a very big announcement. He will be joining Nike's Jordan brand with the deal reportedly worth $75 million. Over 7 years, and it didn't take long for the news to spread with a Zion billboard popping up right down the street across from MSG. Madison Square Garden. Salt in the wound for Knicks fans, but it's nothing new of late.
See, you're happy about this, I would imagine. You being a huge Jordan fan, call him not only the greatest basketball player, but the greatest marketer of all time. His tennis shoes.
Yeah, tell me where I lied.
Well, I'm just setting you up here on this.
Nick was upset this
Zion.
Morning.
No, I wasn't.
Yeah, they
you were.
They were a great. He has a great basketball shoe. It's either signed with with Jordan or sign with LeBron. Those are the best shoes, especially for his body type. But, yes, and I like the way they photoshopped it, Jenna. They slimmed him out. They lost some weight on him. Jordan knows.
I thought he was going to sign with Nike. I'm glad he signed with Nike. Where I was surprised is I thought he might, a la LeBron, Durant, Kyrie, Paul George, get his own signature line as opposed to join Russell Westbrook, Blake Griffin, some others, folded into the Jordan brand part of it. I thought that would be Nike's biggest selling.
Yeah, I think most of those are just ego. When you have a shoe like LeBron, the way he's established it, and Jordan, why would I want to compete? These guys just do it like for, oh, once I get to the league, I want my own shoe. But I believe that the basketball shoes are better, the LeBrons are better, and the Jordans are better to wear for his feet, for his career.
Your idea that he could have become the first LeBron athlete, because LeBron doesn't have anyone wear like that signed under him like Jordan Brand, was a really good one because of his size and the bulk on him. Are you surprised he didn't just sign with the Steph Curry sneakers? See?
No, he's not going to be cutting grass for a living.
What about Shaq?
He's playing basketball. I mean, can you get them in the United States? Goodness gracious, those things are made overseas somewhere. Didn't we ban those things?
Time now for stories to start your morning. Ian Rappaport reporting that Melvin Gordon will be holding out as the Chargers arrive at camp today. The Pro Bowl running back will be subject to fines, and contract talks are expected to halt as the team focuses on the running backs at camp. All right, Chris Carter, how do you see this one playing out?
It's not going to end well. It's going to be a major distraction there for the Chargers. They're not going to pay him. They've been doing this for a long time. They're not in love with Melvin Gordon at those prices for a running back. So he's going to have to play it out. And I believe that potentially he can be franchised after the season, or you have to hit free agency. But I don't believe the Chargers will pay him.
I think it's going to end up with Melvin Gordon playing under the terms of his current deal, a few $100,000 lighter due to fines for missed time. Unfortunate for him. I don't think he has the leverage. I also don't think he has the sustained level of excellence to be able to make these types of demands. I'm all for everyone getting paid. I think he might be overplaying his hand in this spot, though, particularly by not showing up for camp.
Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.
All right, moving on to Seattle now. Linebacker Bobby Wagner seeking a new deal, but he says he'll attend training camp and will be cautious until he has a new contract. Nick, you like this approach?
Well, it seems like exactly what you recommended Melvin Gordon do, and other guys that are in this situation show up. But be careful. If you're not comfortable playing in the preseason games, don't do it. This is the route you would recommend guys take in this spot, correct?
Well, only if you're Bobby Wagner now. Bobby Wagner is a special football player now. There are not two linebackers in this league, middle, that are better than him. For years, he's been underrated, running that defense, also running that locker room with all those personalities. He's the last one to get paid, and he's been the most dependable defender since he's been the starting linebacker for the Seahawks. The other people, they're not as good. Ezekiel Elliott and him have the same type of resume. Bobby's been doing it longer, but Melvin Gordon, him, no. They're both out west. That's about the same. They're both in the NFL. No, he can't do what Bobby Wagner's doing.
All right, finally, Dallas got some great news yesterday. All-Pro center Travis Frederick is expected to be back in 2019. Frederick missed all of last year dealing with an immune system disorder. All right, Nick, what's the ceiling for the Cowboys if they are at full strength?
Last year, they were carried by their defense this entirety of the season. In the second half of the season, the offense did its part. They had a top 10, I think the 7th-ranked scoring defense, 6th-ranked yardage defense, and an offense in the second half of the year approached that top 15. If you get that level of offensive production to go along with where they were defensively, that second half of the season level, there's no reason this team can't be in the NFC Championship game, somewhere they haven't been in 20 seasons. There's no reason they can't, for the first time since the mid-90s, which is unbelievable, win playoff games in back-to-back years. Like, this is the year for the Cowboys. They have a superstar running back. They have a very good wide receiver. They have a quarterback that, while limited, does not kill you and can make big plays in big spots. With Travis Frederick back, they should get back to being who they had been the previous few years, which is the best offensive line, or certainly a top three offensive line in football, and they've spent the money on the defense. So at full strength, with Zeke in the fold, with Travis Frederick back, which with Dak not playing like he did the first half of last year, this Cowboys team should be in the discussion for one of the two or three best teams in the NFC, which means you're right there to potentially get past the divisional round, which they haven't done in nearly 25 years, and have it be a game away from a Super Bowl. To me, I don't think they're a Super Bowl champion team, but could they be one of the teams playing in the second to last weekend of the year? Absolutely, if it all falls right and they have all those guys in the fold.
With Travis Frederick coming back, it's something specifically healthy. He's the best center in football, and not just a blocker. His overall athleticism, I would say him and the center for New England are 1 and 2. So what does it allow them to do? They struggled last year in the red zone. His backup, he was adequate, but he's not a star. Travis Frederick, he will not be overwhelmed in the red zone. They would get in the gap next to the center guard, and they would overwhelm them in the red zone, get penetration, take them out of their running game,
yep,
and cause the quarterback problems. He's also a veteran. He's going to help your quarterback get better, because with the line calls and the pass protection, it should give Dak more comfort. And Dak doesn't have to assume all the responsibility that he had last season. They should share in that. And Travis is such a good athlete. He's not your normal center. Normal centers, they are good to their right and to their left, but he's great in space. He can pull on a run and be able to get the edge to be able to get you a running hole. And in the screen game, he is one of the best in the business as far as setting it and getting outside for Ezekiel Elliott or someone else to be able to break free. So at full strength, if their line can return to being one of the top three offensive line, Pro Football Focus has them ranked, if Travis is healthy, number two. But if they can be a top three offensive line, I said it yesterday, when they win time and possession, when they play less than 30 minutes, their defense was 8-0. So Travis Frederick and that offense, it plays a huge part in how Dallas, and if they're going to have Super Bowl aspirations, that undersized defense has got to play a little bit of time so they can be quick, force some turnovers. But Travis Frederick coming back, he is a star in the NFL, and there are only a few stars that we have on the offensive line.
Well, I hate to be Debbie Downer, but the same conversation we had with Melvin Gordon. Yeah, if at full strength, this team is potentially Super Bowl bound or playoff bound, but how much of a distraction is going to be all those contract talks and
all
that money stuff?
Well, they're all showing up right now.
They are.
I mean, we don't know what Zeke's going to do, but there's no...
They're all under contract.
And Amari's not holding out. Dak's not holding out. And we'll see what happens with Zeke. Like, yes, there's... If some of their best players are not there, then most notably Zeke, then to me, they go from being a team that could make the NFC Championship. Without Zeke, I don't think they're a playoff team.
Oh.
I think he is that important. He's the most talented player on their team. But the ability of this team to have a dominant, and I know it's the most boring part of the team to talk about,
offensive line.
They have an all-pro left tackle. They spent a second-round pick last year on their left guard, Connor Williams. Travis Frederick's the best center in football, or was, before he missed a year. Zach Martin was in the discussion for the best guard in football. And the right tackle, Lyle Collins, is going to make a lot of money by either the Cowboys next offseason or somebody else. He had an odd draft situation, made him fall to where he was available with the Cowboys. If those guys all play to their abilities, then... Even if Dak plays poorly, he can't kill you. We know Zeke will have the open running holes. And so that's where this team's at its best. That's where they were at their best in 2016, was that offensive line crushed people. I think Travis Frederick, I think Chris's point on what Dak had to do pre-snap without having Travis there, the adjustment to the new center at the beginning of the year, I think that's an important part. And if he's back with that, how much easier that makes Dak's job, I think that's a critical part for the Cowboys this upcoming season.
All right, let's pause and move to the NBA now. The LA Lakers' quest to help LeBron get a title in year 17 was predicated on filling out the rest of their roster to its fullest potential. Well, they're just about there, but according to reports, the Lakers are keeping one roster spot open for Andre Iguodala if he gets bought out of his deal in Memphis. See, how much better would Iggy make the Lakers right now?
He makes every team better. I don't know why just the Lakers. If he goes to the Clippers, he makes them better. Any of the teams in the West, he makes them better. Man, he is a quality basketball player, a quality human being, a guy that's been through ups and downs. His resume is hard to match. He's been an all-star. He's been a reserve. He's been on the championship as a starter. He's been on championship as a reserve. He's a great defender. He's helped handle, calm some of the stuff that's going on in Golden State behind the scenes. His teammates like him. I haven't heard anybody say anything about him. And he's a tough guy. LeBron, I'm sure LeBron, this is what he wants. I don't want him to be guarding me. We get into a series.
Right.
All right? Now, could you imagine the rotation of Paul George, Kawhi Leonard, and Iggy on LeBron? No. Did you see the reaction of LeBron when Kawhi checked into the game when he was with the Heat? Oh, he'd be saying, triple over. Oh, him. Like, no, it is not a good matchup. I'd much rather have him on my team fighting against them with his overall experience. And especially, you're going to have some moments during the season. He's a guy that I want in my troop because I know he's going to be a calming force and he has answers to real NBA questions. Leave him open. He can knock down shots. But that overall leadership, to me, when you have all these teams that are equally matched, a guy like him becomes more important than he was the last several years, and he was very important there in Golden State.
And a guy who knows exactly what his role is, doesn't have it, has removed the ego about starting after being a perennial starter until Steve Kerr moved him to the bench when they got there, and it led to championships in Golden State. It was a huge part of it. But Chris's point about, is he more valuable for the Lakers playing for them or just not playing against them, is an enormous one. We talk about, well, if he goes to the Clippers arguably have the three best LeBron defenders in the league, in Kawhi, Paul George, Andre Iguodala. But think about the other two teams that are in the running for him. If Houston right now has no one to check LeBron, who on that roster you're like, oh, okay, in a playoff series, he's going to be a guy that we can credibly put on LeBron one-on-one. P.J. Tucker's a great defender, but he's too small. Like, and nobody. Denver, another team that is a Western Conference contender. Who on Denver's roster right now can guard LeBron? The answer is nobody. So if he goes to the Clippers, they have three guys that can do it. If he goes to Houston or Denver, they go from zero to one, which is an enormous upgrade. So, yes, he'd be helpful for the Lakers. But it's almost more helpful for him to be with them or for him just not to be against them than to be with him. But the one other thing when you mentioned he's respecting the locker room, who also does he have a relationship with that's currently on the Lakers that, to me, is the biggest personality question mark? Boogie Cousins. He was with Boogie Cousins through the ups and downs of last year. Whatever Boogie's role is, there's Anthony Davis has a relationship with Boogie. Rajon does. But they dealt with Boogie. They played with Boogie when things were flying high for him.
Right.
Then he pops his Achilles, and he didn't play with them ever again. Andre Iguodala has a relationship with Boogie Cousins, dealing with rehab, coming back, playing well, getting hurt again, trying to come back. That's, to me, could be very important as Boogie's role develops with the Lakers.
And see, he's also a LeBron guy. He's a guy you could trust. He's a guy with a high basketball IQ. He's a guy who you know is going to be a veteran in the locker room. And he's a guy who, unlike with the Warriors, will probably be playing a limited basis, maybe keep him fresher and healthier to actually last throughout the season if he were there with the Lakers.
He fits great with the Lakers. At this point in his career, yes, if he can play around 55, 60 games, and you keep him just fresh enough that when you're able to start, that was one of the things when Golden State, they couldn't recover from injury, but they might have been on the recovery if he was healthy.
Yeah.
All right? Because he had a calf, he had a knee that was bothering him. He's logged a lot of minutes, but he's got to be in the right situation. And there's a lot of situations. I believe Denver is a better situation for him because of his overall leadership, and he started his career there. And there's only a few players in this league. And right now I can say Kawhi, I can say Iggy, and I can say LeBron, that they've had success against everyone. Everyone else can't say that.
Yep.
Steph can't say that. Klay can't say that. KD can't say that. Paul George can't say that. Harden can't say that. But these guys are the few that can say, you know something? If he was on Denver, said, hey, you know, I know how to defeat these guys. If he's on the Lakers, imagine the cachet that he brings with them coming down the stretch. No, he's a tremendous addition. He's a great basketball player. And to have him in your mix and you're trying to win a championship, I believe is a positive.
And the Lakers last year foolishly said, we're going to go playmakers, and they got guys who couldn't shoot and actually also weren't very good playmakers. But if you did have, you would be a little light on shooting here, but if four or five guys on the court at one point were LeBron, Andre Iguodala, Anthony Davis, and DeMarcus Cousins, all of those guys, for their position and their size, are elite playmakers. Boogie's an elite passer for his position. Anthony Davis, an above-average passer for his position. For Iggy, aside from the defense, that's what he did best for Golden State, was keep the ball moving in that offense. We know what type of passer LeBron is. So there are some real basketball parts, but the other, the championship DNA, which sounds cliche, almost no one in the league has that in higher quantities than Andre Iguodala, which is why the best teams in the league all want him. Yeah, the Lakers would love to have him. The Clippers would love to have him. Rockets are trying to get him. I agree with you. Denver would be a great fit, and he would fit a huge need for a team that has no real championship DNA on that roster. So one of those teams is going to get him, and it will be an enormous piece of who ends up winning the title this year.
Nice to be wanted, Iggy. Coming up, can Patrick Mahomes lead the Chiefs to the Super Bowl in year three? That's still ahead. This is First Things First. Welcome back to the show. We're now joined by Super Bowl champ Chris Kenny. Hey, Chris.
Hey,
boom.
Jenna.
That was a great dap. That was awesome.
Let me get it.
We were good.
That was even.
We were okay the last couple of weeks when she introduces
Air five.
Me. Everything was smooth.
No, you off vacation.
And then all of a sudden.
I got Jim.
Good to see you, Miss
Jenna-isms.
Jenna-isms.
It's
okay, Jenna.
Air five. Yeah. Let's talk Steelers.
You ain't the first person you made nervous.
Okay, here we go. Coming off a year in which
talk
the Steelers.
About how smooth my skin is.
Sorry about that. That was my bad. Steelers missed the playoffs. They had an interesting offseason, suddenly finding themselves missing what some would call most of their offense after trading away Antonio Brown and letting Lev Bell walk. All eyes and all responsibility now shift to Ben Roethlisberger.
He does not have smooth skin.
No, he does not. But Chris Canty does. According to one columnist, that's what he told us yesterday, the Steelers have done everything to make this Big Ben's team. So, Chris Canty, how do you expect Ben to respond in his first full season without AB?
Excited to hear this.
And
well,
L. Bell.
Well, he better respond by not throwing the ball to the other team. That's a great place to start. He also needs to tone it down with the radio spot that he's been doing every single week during the regular season, because we've seen some inflammatory comments from there. And when you have that kind of stuff out there, I mean, it doesn't do you any favors in terms of your locker room being able to remove them, you know, remove the distractions and all of those types of things. But clearly, the organization thinks that it's addition by subtraction by letting Le'Veon Bell walk in free agency and then deciding to trade away Antonio Brown. Like, this has to be Ben Roethlisberger's team. He has to assert himself as a leader. He's got to galvanize everybody. He's got to get everybody to buy into whatever agenda that Mike Tomlin wants to set for the team. That's the biggest thing when I look at this season, because you really need those young players that they have on the roster. James Conner, Jalen Samuels, the kid Benny Snell that they drafted out of Kentucky. You need those guys to step up and fill in for the production that's walking out of the door. So that's the thing that I'm excited to see. A lot of young players emerging from this Pittsburgh Steelers team right now, because you've got that void. You need production because Antonio Brown's not there.
Yes.
Le'Veon Bell is not there. So we'll see how that works out. But I think that Ben Roethlisberger being put in this position, I think this puts it all on him. It's not on anybody else. This is on Big Ben.
Listen, this is a tremendous opportunity for Big Ben, but with this tremendous opportunity comes some possible pitfalls. If they make it back to the playoffs, forget they don't have to win a Super Bowl. If they just make it back to the playoffs after missing the playoffs for the first time in over a half decade, if they win the division when they are for the first time in a while not favored to do so, with no Le'Veon Bell, with no Antonio Brown, Big Ben gets to, whether he will say it publicly on the radio show or just think it.
Probably will.
Say, hey, guys, told you. Like, I got this. There's the noise, the distraction. I was always part of the solution, never part of the problem, and I got this. If it goes poorly, as I fear it may, and if they go from their first season out of the playoffs in over half a decade to their first season under 500 since Mike Tomlin's been the head coach, then that opportunity turns into an indictment. Then it's, man, why didn't you make it work with one of the three most talented receivers in football in Antonio Brown? It's not fair to blame Ben for the Le'Veon Bell thing at all, in my opinion. That was a contract dispute with ownership. But he and Antonio had a falling out. And that's obviously, to me, a big part of the reason he's no longer there. And so if they are a worse team because of that, yeah, that will fall on a lot of people. Primarily will fall on Ben Roethlisberger's shoulders, the 3 Super Bowl appearances and the 2 championships notwithstanding. So it's an exciting moment for him, but this season's also fraught with more risk than most seasons in the most recent history for Ben Roethlisberger and the Pittsburgh Steelers.
All right, let me educate you guys just a little bit. Just a little bit, all right? When Jerome Bettis left the Pittsburgh Steelers, he turned the Pittsburgh Steelers over to Ben Roethlisberger. Mm-hmm. So this is not the first time a legendary player has left Ben Roethlisberger or the Steelers. So us thinking that the team has turned over to him, no. The problem with L. Bell and them was they thought it was their team, and it was always Ben's team. So it's not an opportunity the team's turned over. It's an opportunity for an old veteran player who leads the team in wins, passing yards, passing touchdowns, and passing rating. So he just not getting the keys to the car today. It's always been his franchise for a long period of time. Let me give you a couple other quarterbacks, just as an example. The Chargers, whose team is that?
It's Philip Rivers.
Oh, okay. What about the New York Football Giants here?
Eli Manning.
Oh, okay. Didn't they all come in the league the same time?
Yep. Yeah.
Oh, okay, no problem. Let's just stay in the division. In Baltimore, Kenty, whose team is that?
It was Joe Flacco's. It ain't no more. It's Lamar Jackson.
Oh, okay. Let's go to Cleveland.
It's Baker's, but
I'm not done yet, all right? When you are a quarterback in this league, it's your team. Mm-hmm. If you're Nick Foles, it's his team in Jacksonville. Mm-hmm. So to think that the Pittsburgh Steelers at this point are turned – no, it's always been. That was part of Antonio's problem that he had, that they're going to always choose him over me if they have to. Antonio is – not in Pittsburgh because Pittsburgh didn't want him there. Not because Ben didn't want him there. Antonio didn't want to be in Pittsburgh. That's why he refused to come. He refused to show up to work and demanded a trade. So for me, there are more optics on Mike Tomlin and Ben Roethlisberger. But it should be. There ain't no one else. I got their whole roster right here. You tell me someone else it should be their team.
Right. No, of course, but I don't think anyone disputes that. And when you say, all right, so 2 things. One is when you say, and Antonio's not there because Antonio didn't want to be there. Mm-hmm. But part of the reason he didn't want to be there is because the relationship with the quarterback soured.
Do you know how many guys in the locker room don't like guys they're playing with?
Okay, that's fine. But how many guys in the locker room?
Well, we should acknowledge that.
Okay, that I think we do acknowledge that. But he's the one that's gone.
The reason why he couldn't deal with Ben is because they weren't going to give him no new money.
That's what it is.
Okay, that was obvious. Part of it. Another part of it was the ongoing fraying of the relationship of Ben throwing him under the bus after he throws the interception, of the things on the radio show. We can't act like those things didn't happen, didn't have a part of it. Now, would it all have been papered over if the Steelers gave him $100 million? Sure. But no one, to me, see, you're arguing a point no one's disputing. Of course it's been Roethlisberger's team. That is true. What is also true is this. Philip Rivers didn't just all of a sudden have a feud with Keenan Allen and Melvin Gordon, and they're gone. Philip Rivers, it's his team, but the level of scrutiny on him this year is the same as last year. There's a higher level of scrutiny on Big Ben this season because if it goes poorly, it's not Le'Veon Bell's holdout. Yep. It's not Antonio Brown throwing coolers. So what is it? It's the coach or the quarterback or both. I don't think people disagree on that.
No, I think the organization has made it clear that Big Ben is in a leadership role. It's going to be him and, remember, 52 other kids. That's what their GM, Kevin Colbert, said. But along with that leadership role comes a responsibility to try to make it work, especially with your best players. And that's something that Big Ben hasn't done a great job of doing in the past. So I look at this situation now. He's got every opportunity to do that, and the organization needs him to step up, not only from what he's doing from performance on the field, but he's also got to be better in the locker room with his teammates. No question about it. Young players, they're just trying to find the formula for success. Big Ben has got to be a part of those guys figuring out that aspect of it because he's going to have to lean on those guys now. He doesn't have Lev Bell or Antonio Brown.
I'm sure part of it was that Ben Roethlisberger thought he made Antonio Brown better, and Antonio Brown probably thought he made Ben Roethlisberger better. Who do you think was more responsible? Do you think Big Ben for the 2 guys, Lev Bell and Antonio Brown, or those 2 guys made Ben better?
Both of them are very, very unique. The Pittsburgh Steelers have been a running franchise until they got Ben Roethlisberger. So they start throwing the ball when they got Ben, not when they got Antonio. All the other receivers, not to the level, because Antonio has played a historic level. You cannot, throw the football and separate the credit.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Ben Roethlisberger is great in itself. He is a tremendous quarterback, and his yards, his wins, they all stay. What Antonio did, I'm not going to let people hate on him because, man, he's a great route runner, double teams, can get off the bump and run. As a small receiver, like, he developed into one of the elite. He had a five-year window, one of the best windows we've ever seen to any wide receiver. So I don't have to make a choice because I know you cannot do at a high level one without the other.
No question about it. And now Ben has got to get other guys to step up. James Washington is another player that they're going to be looking for in that receiving core to step up. This organization has done a great job of developing wide receivers, the latest, of course, being Juju Smith-Schuster. But, I mean, a lot of that's going to be on Ben to try to get those guys to come along because their expectation is to be in the playoffs.
This is the
that's
thing.
How the Pittsburgh Steelers get
this
down.
Is what we got to be careful, though. What if the Pittsburgh Steelers at this group of wide receivers, led by Dante Moncrief and Smith-Schuster and Eli Rice, what if they don't develop? We just already blamed it on Ben. It ain't going to be Ben's fault. Ben's thrown to all different types of receivers. It's up to them receivers to get better. We can't have everything. The defense is awful.
Absolutely.
I'm agreeing with you. I'm agreeing with you, but I'm just talking about in terms of trying to get other guys to step up because you're losing so much production. All I'm saying is this. As Ben Roethlisberger goes, is how this team is going to go. He's the quarterback. He has the most impact on their ability to win.
I don't believe that. Last year, Ben threw for 5,000 yards. Their defense was bad at times. They didn't make the playoffs.
But, CeCe, when he's throwing 16 interceptions, it doesn't help. When you look at that Denver Broncos game, it didn't help that he's turning the ball over and they're blaming it on receivers running the wrong route.
So, there aren't teams that the quarterback throwing 16 interceptions to get to the playoffs?
He had the second most turnovers in the interceptions in the league. He was good and bad last year.
Ben doesn't want to throw interceptions, but what's the excuse for their defense?
But of course it's not just one piece, one part, one thing. But with the star receiver being gone, it is now. And with Juju, here's the thing that's toughest for the Steelers. Juju's not going to be able to be more productive than last year.
Yeah.
Juju had 1,500 yards last
year. That's a lot.
So it's not like, okay, well, Juju's going to – Juju, they just hope, can duplicate it. The Antonio Brown production void is going to have to be filled by the guys you mentioned. James Washington, who's been criticized by Big Ben. Donnie Moncrief, Eli Rogers. One of those young players or middling veteran players is going to have to step into that void. And it's a hell of a void.
That plus hoping James Conner steps up and has some of the production he had in spurts last year as well.
I made 8 Pro Bowls, 5 different quarterbacks. I sign up if I could to play with Ben Roethlisberger any day. I'll handle what he's saying off the field. All right? I can handle that.
All right, let's take a break. Kenny, stick around. Coming up, can Odell live up to the hype in Cleveland? That's next. This is First Things First. Back here with Chris Kenny. Time for Say What? Friend of the show, Mark Schlereth, won 3 Super Bowls in his heyday, but now that Stink's retired, he puts all his focus into grass. Say
Hey, welcome into another edition of Man 101. And yeah, you found me in my favorite place. That's right, my lawn. And I'm telling you what, people, it is spectacular. Look at this. July 21st. I'm telling you what, a thing of beauty. And don't think I don't hear the whispers in the neighborhood, the accusations. That's right, people accusing me of lawn PEDs. Well, let me tell you something, people. This is 100% all natural. I water this with the blood and the sweat, and I fertilize with my own tears of joy. That's right, people. I'm out here working, mowing 3 days a week. Meanwhile, you've got some namby-pamby landscaping company mowing your lawn once a week. Shame on you.
See, you recently moved. You now have a lawn.
Yeah.
You hit up Stink for any tips, lawn care, manic, anything like that?
No, yeah, I got some tips for you. I grew up in the housing project. When you can hire a lawn company, that's major coming up in the world.
Exactly.
And the projects ain't no grass. It's nothing but brick, man, nothing but concrete. No. Forget Stink.
I don't know, but seeing his lawn make me feel like I need to get on my landscapers to get their game stepped up.
Okay, need to do it individually.
No, I'm not doing it. I spend enough time in the grass. It's in my
palatial
career.
Estates of
I'm
Alpine, New Jersey, if you want to go see
really?
Chris
Really? We got to take it there?
Drive by the house with the Bentley parked. Out front.
Yeah, with the terrible lawn. I'm going to need my landscapers to step
Bad lawn, Bentley out front. It's Candy's house.
Thank you for listening to the First Things First podcast. Remember, leave us a review and tell us what you think. Subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts and catch us on FS1 Monday through Friday, 6:30 a.m. Eastern. For Chris Carter and Nick Wright, I'm Jenna Wolf. So long, everybody.
Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.